Let's make it happen, Captain!
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag. All right, Gov, what's the news today? We got quite a bit going on today. It's a busy time here at Microsoft. We got
a very busy time.
Build. There's stuff going up all over campus to support Build. We're thrilled about that. And
release to public for Windows 8.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We've got Windows Phone coming up.
Yeah.
It's a very big year for us.
Something near and dear to me, Surface.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of news on that this week, which we shoot this a little bit early, so I'm sure you'll have seen that by now. And that's one of the picks of the week, so we'll talk about that soon. But let's get started here. From Venmo, he says, I have Windows 7 Ultimate 64-bit SP1 running on a Dell XPS 630i. About 50% of the time when I put my system into sleep or hibernate, when I come back to use the system again, it has not come up correctly and has to do a full restart. He goes through some steps here. One, I've reset and changed the power options a few times. This hasn't helped. I think this happened when I was running XP also in 2011, but less frequently. My system has the latest BIOS. Most of the time the system shuts down all power and there's not a blinking light on the power state button. Sometimes there's a light blinking after shutdown. It also has this problem if I turn on auto sleep or auto hibernate to execute after X minutes of inactivity. What is the difference between sleep and hibernate? That's a good question.
Okay, so let's address the second one first. The difference between sleep and hibernate is relatively simple. Sleep is a low power setting that still keeps power to your RAM. It allows you to go into an instant on state. You know, you just move your mouse, brings it back up again.
Yeah.
Usually to a lock screen if you type in a password. Hibernate will save everything in RAM to disk and then power off the machine.
So it's completely off, not using any power.
Completely off, not using any power. Now, certain machines...
And hibernate takes a little bit longer to come back from, of course, because it's got to...
Oddly enough, if you're on an SSD,
it
hardly takes any time at all. And one of the cool features about Windows 8 is... when you choose shutdown, is actually a hybrid sleep, or what we call hyperboot.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it essentially logs you out and then hibernates the machine and allows you to come back to your machine very, very quickly. So you get all the benefits of shutting down and saving power without having to go and reinitialize the entire system again, which is rarely ever needed.
Yeah.
I mean, it is potentially needed when you're swapping out hardware, but you're really not doing that on laptops and certainly not tablets.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes getting to your machine a lot faster, making it usable again without having to go through this lengthy initialization process. But even with an SSD on one of my older systems from about 2.5-3 years ago, I can get from a cold boot to a login prompt in about 15 seconds.
That's nice.
It is. It's very nice.
Awesome. Okay, and so specifically the problem with this machine.
Specifically the problem with this machine, I did some research, and it actually looks just like a problem in that machine's BIOS.
Yeah.
Now, it may not have been fixed. It's a relatively old system, so the IHV, the OEM, may not have fixed it. But something that you can actually try, and normally I wouldn't recommend this, but you really don't have a lot to lose. You can actually see if it was a bug that was introduced in one of the later BIOSes, so you could try rolling back your BIOS,
mm-hmm.
see if you can get to a point where that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Most of the time, for many systems, BIOS updates are usually just to include new processor types.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, sometimes to fix bugs, right? But if you were never encountering the bug that it was fixing in the first place, maybe you can live without that particular patch. You go down to an earlier version that doesn't have this issue, and then you're golden.
Yeah.
Can't guarantee it. I don't know whether or not that's the case for this particular machine,
mm-hmm.
whether or not an earlier BIOS would actually fix it, but at least it's something to try.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, next question from Joa. I hope I pronounced that right. I think I've just destroyed your name, and I apologize for that. It says, great show. This is my second time I've sent you a question. Keep up the good work. I'm having an issue with Windows 8 Pro that won't let me change from private network to home network. I can't either change the network name like is possible on Windows 7. Please see attached image. It is not possible also to merge or delete any previous network. Is this a limitation because it's not activated, or a Windows 8 feature, or a problem with my network?
None of the above. What probably happened is when the NLA, the Network Location Awareness Service screen came up, at some point you might have said treat all future networks as this.
Yeah.
And there's actually a group policy to override that. So if you run gpedit.msc, you go to the computer configuration, the Windows settings, the security settings, and then Network List Manager Policies. This should list your various networks. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is double click the All Networks, and then you can now set for user can change name, user can change location.
Nice.
And okay. Then hit apply, hit OK. You might have to reboot after setting this policy, but that should actually resolve it. You
cool.
should be able to change the name again and set it for public or public home or work. Now, remember, generally speaking, home and work is essentially identical.
Yeah. Okay. All right, next question. Is there a way to execute a program when a printer jams or runs out of paper? We have computers with touch screens that our members check in on, but if the printer jams or runs out of paper, people can still check in but won't get their name tag. I want to be able to shut down the check-in program if the printer is not working.
There is nothing built into Windows that will specifically do this, but I wanted to explore the problem on how you would actually solve this problem. Many printers are network manageable. So, you know, you can actually register a printer in Active Directory. As part of that, it exposes various management information. So ink levels, paper levels, all that kind of stuff can set up notifications for the admin. So you can take all of this infrastructure that is available and you can actually set up in your Active Directory the ability to say, hey, when I notice on this particular printer that I'm getting this notification, you can actually do that. You can set a policy to run a particular application, and that application, maybe a PowerShell script, could go run on the particular machine and say, oh, I need to go kill this program, or I need to go pop up a different message to the user that says, you know, something a little bit more friendly. Please move to the next station. This station is out of order, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the infrastructure, Windows overall, will be able to do this for you.
Yeah.
It just takes a little bit of work because obviously for a home environment, you have a printer attached to the computer, it's out of paper, you can just go look at it and you know you can interact with it. For these kind of specialized situations, you're going to have to do a little bit more work.
Okay, cool. All right, next question. Let's see, is there a way to have Windows 7 show the classic logon prompt instead of the welcome screen? I prefer to have the users type in their username password as opposed to it showing all the usernames and icons.
I'm fairly certain that that we don't have that capability anymore. It might be in a group policy. I haven't looked it up whether or not the classic logon is available, but for the most part, you're basically stuck, or you just join the domain, mm-hmm. in which case you can type in your username and password that way.
Okay. All right, next question. Windows 7, 64-bit. Here's a hypothetical problem. There's a folder with multiple subfolders, which themselves have subfolders and so on. A program creates, modifies files in any of these folders, say at time, T equals year, month, date, hour, minute. Is there a simple command to search for all the files created and modified after time T or between a date range? So, yes.
Yes, there Dove is.
Dove will know.
if you want to go search for something, you know, Windows search libraries, we have modifications. What you can do is search, and I have the modification here. This is how you use a date range. So you can say search computer. I have no idea if you know this will actually show up any. Apparently, yeah. I have this particular file that was modified thus far in between this date range.
Cool. Okay. And there's a few different options in here. This is Windows 8, of course. And under search tools, there's like a date modified. You can look in the last week, the last month, last year, that kind of thing.
Right.
But if you want to actually look between a date range, you can use that modified.
Exactly.
Colon. Cool. All right. Next question. Without installing third-party software, how do I display the day in the clock in the lower right system tray in Windows 7? For example, Tuesday, in addition to the time and date display. You're doing magic over there. There's voodoo.
I'm waving my magic fingers.
So you got to let it breathe. You got to give it room.
I need to unbelt the taskbar.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, just there make the taskbar bigger and you can see your date down there. Otherwise, there's not enough room to display it. So
right.
Makes perfect sense. All right. Awesome. Okay. Next question. I remember that I did this once, but I totally forgot. Truth is, I don't know how I did it. But I'm asking how to move the cursor with the keyboard, the arrow keys on Windows 7. So yeah, you can definitely do this. And I did an interview, I don't know how long ago it was, with someone in the Windows 7 Ease of Access. It's part of the Ease of Access settings in Windows 7, also Windows 8.
Also Windows 8.
But yeah, let's take a look here. Show us how easy this is to bring up.
Yeah, this part is super easy. WinKey U.
There Ta-da. You go.
Ease of Access Center.
Yeah.
We have listened to people, you know, with the people with disabilities, you know, people that are using this frequently.
Yeah.
You know, so hotkey.
So one of the interesting things with this video that I did interviewing the person who works on Ease of Access is there's a lot of things in here that you might not have thought about that help everybody, not just people with disabilities.
Absolutely.
And so there's some interesting things to go through here. One of the things that you can do is...
make the mouse easier to use.
Yeah. So click on that, and it's called mouse keys.
Yep.
And the way mouse keys work, and you might not be able to do it on your little netbook there because you...
I don't have numeric keys.
Yeah, so you set up mouse keys, and mouse keys will kind of put a grid over the screen, and then you can use the keys on your numeric keypad to select different ranges, and it'll kind of like tighten in with tighter and tighter areas. And you just use the numeric keys, and it'll let you move the mouse with the keys that way. So, yeah, very cool. There's also some other things. I'll link to the video from the Ease of Access group, but there's some interesting things in there that you might just find help everybody. So, yeah, all kinds of cool stuff.
Speech recognition.
Yeah.
The one of the features of Windows that people rarely ever talk about.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of cool stuff, too. I mean, you can have it recognize your speech, or you can have it read to you. All right, next question. Is there a program or a way to log all network activity to a specific program on one's computer, program or service? I know I can see this live in Resource Monitor, but I'm wondering if anyone knows a program or a way to track or log all network activity from a specific process and or service. I'm finding a lot of live-type monitors like Windows Resource Monitor, but nothing that can log.
You betcha. Procmon.
Procmon.
Now, normally, people only ever use this for registry and file monitoring.
Yeah.
But there is a option in the UI, and I think we show the UI here. It's super, super small. So let's see if we can zoom in a wee bit. 200? Yeah, there we go. Funny. This UI is actually a really old UI. In the new versions of Procmon, there are two new buttons over here, one of which is the network monitoring button. Mm-hmm. So you can unselect file registry process monitoring and just choose the network monitoring, choose the filters being the process that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And then it'll log everything for you.
Okay, cool. That's nice. Do you know how to unzoom now that we're talking about keyboard shortcuts? Yeah, you know, I do that without going back up there. Windows 0.
Windows 0, right.
Oh,
do you know what? It didn't work.
What's up with that?
Control 0.
Oh, Control 0. I should have known. Fool.
There you go.
Wow. Okay.
You lead me astray, boy.
I know. All right, so we are up to pick of the week time, pick of the week. And the pick of the week, of course, is Surface. Love it. It's been all over the news. I don't have much else to tell you other than what you've seen all this week. But yeah, it's incredible. You can pre-order it now. The lowest rung of Surface, the
one without
$499
the
keyboard. One. Yeah, that one is already back-ordered, yep. So... you're going to have to step up your game if you want to get one on the 26th when it comes out, or you're going to have to wait. So, yeah.
I suggest people get the 64 gig one.
Yeah, of course.
Personal bias.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Mm-hmm. If you get the 64 gig one And then when the 32 without the keyboard comes back, mm-hmm. what you do is you order that one plus the keyboard of your choice, and then you can now mix and match
yeah.
with the black keyboard that comes with the 64 gig
mm-hmm.
plus, you know, the 32 with the color of your choice. Maybe you want the 64 plus the blue, and then you can give, you know, the 32 plus the black from the 64 to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you get two. And, I mean, everybody wants two. Like, you get one for each hand, man.
Yeah, so there was also, if you missed it, there was a Reddit Ask Me Anything this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, let's see, Stevie Batish was in there. Panos was answering questions, and you could ask him whatever you want, and there was tons of information in there that you know, a lot of us learned a lot about, because this has been kept under wraps for some time. Mm-hmm. So even like people like me, I mean, I'm sure you knew all about it, but I had a lot of questions myself, and so I picked up a lot from that that Reddit Ask Me Anything. So you definitely want to check that out. Gove, which keyboard do you think you're going to go with? The Touch or the typing one?
I like the Touch keyboard.
Yeah.
really do. There's one significant advantage that is good for me and in general for the lifestyle is the keyboard is waterproof,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can take it anywhere. Take it hiking. Take it, you know, if you want to watch movies when you're hiking.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to clean. It's there's, you know, if water falls on it, big deal. You just, you know,
yeah.
wipe it clean. It's, you know, good around kids.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is the thing for kids. Now, don't get me wrong, the Type keyboard is amazing for its thickness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those of us that are really heavy typers, it may work better for you. All I can say is that for the Touch keyboard, there is a minor learning curve in terms of, you know, getting used to it and
yeah.
not having the play in the distance, but you get used to it very, very quickly, and you can type just as quickly as you could on a regular keyboard. It looks small, but the keys are a good size even for folks with, you know, meatier hands.
Yeah. So I'm normally a person who likes a clacky old keyboard, like an old IBM.
You want a mechanical
keyboard. Yeah, and I mean, I even have an old Microsoft Office keyboard that's got the big scroll wheel on the left, and I love that keyboard,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going with the Touch. I love the Touch keyboard, so that's going to be online.
Hey, and you know what? We even can accommodate you, because if that thing is USB,
yeah,
you plug it in.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
I can
there.
Use my clacky
you
keyboard.
You can use your clacky keyboard if you want to. It has the peripherals.
Yeah.
It has Bluetooth 4.
Yeah. Awesome.
You want a nice Bluetooth. I have the thought of actually coupling it with a solar-powered keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard.
Wow. Okay. Awesome.
You know, if I'm at my desk,
mm-hmm.
right, you could, you know, just pick it up as is and, you know, have the keyboard attached. But at a desk, you might want to have a slightly larger keyboard.
Yeah.
But, you know, just keep the cover attached to it all the time, which is great. I mean, that's certainly how I would use it.
Last week, we learned that a dear friend of Channel 9 passed away. Bill Hill was one of the inventors of ClearType, one of the first interviews on Channel 9, and one of the most incredible FTEs to walk the Microsoft campus. Probably the only one to walk the Microsoft campus on his hands and knees, at least in a kilt. My favorite memory of Bill was when I worked at the Poynter Institute and we invited him to speak at a Type conference in 2006. He came and captivated a room full of print-loving Mac users, and we all laughed when he referred to print as dirty marks on shredded trees. At the end of the conference, Bill rode with me to a closing party, and we talked about the future of technology, retina displays, batteries, CPUs, and mobile devices. He loved that I used a tablet PC with Microsoft GPS on the dashboard of my car, and I loved that he understood that the future of computers was a magic piece of glass in your hands. It's a night I'll never forget. We talked throughout the night, and Bill changed my view of technology forever. And at the end of the night, he said, "You should really think about coming to Microsoft. You can do a lot of important things anywhere, but at Microsoft, you can touch a billion lives." By the end of the year, I was a Microsoft employee in a group that adored him. A lot of us were incredibly sad 3 years ago when Bill left Microsoft. One of his colleagues wrote, "A tear falling on a dirty mark on a piece of shredded tree leaves a blur. A tear falling on an LCD screen leaves a rainbow." To a man who touched a billion lives, and to a man who changed mine, you'll be missed, Bill.